Father God, I pray that as we look at your word, you would help me to explain clearly, Father, and help us to understand how we, living in 2013, can be confident of Jesus rising again. And because of this, have confidence in all his promises about forgiveness of sins. We ask this for your glory. Amen. Okay. I'm going to show you a rope trick, you know, like you do with every good sermon. I'm going to make this rope defy gravity. Okay, it's just going to sort of... I will make it defy gravity. It will. It will just... How cool is that? Ready? And we can make it stop defying gravity when we click our fingers, you know, at any point. Sort of after three. One, two, three. Oh, there we go. You see? It's not bad, is it? It's pretty good. Pretty good. I'll put that to one side. That's all you get from me today. Now, when I first sort of said I'm going to make it defy gravity, you probably thought, what? What are you talking about? No, it's just a rope. But of course, that's pretty normal. Sometimes we need proof to believe things that seem impossible. And that's the same as our disciples in our passage today. They become eyewitnesses to Jesus coming back to life. They see proof of something that really is impossible. And they see him for themselves. So what we're going to do, we're going to go through the passage that Tom read. You can turn to it in the Bibles if you wish. The passages will appear on the screen though as well. So what we're going to do, we're going to look at the verses 19 to 23 first. Jesus appears to the disciples to prove he has risen. So we pick this part of the story up on the evening of the same day that the disciples have heard that Jesus has risen from the tomb. Earlier in the day, a couple of disciples had seen the empty tomb, and a friend of theirs, Mary Magdalene, had told them she'd even seen him face to face and had a conversation. Well, I wonder what the disciples thought of that news. It seems they probably thought the same as you when I said I could make the rope defy gravity. They didn't believe it. The disciples were just normal people and knew, like everyone else in this room, that people don't just come back from the dead like this. It seems they didn't believe the stories they'd heard earlier of Jesus coming back from the dead. And they were probably feeling really heartbroken and quite scared. We can tell this from verse 19. Please have a look at it. It will be on the screen. It says, "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' They were huddled together with the doors locked in fear of their lives. If they really believed that Jesus was alive again, well, they'd probably be having a party and inviting everyone to come and enjoy it with them. But they weren't. It looks as though, from that passage, that they were just really disappointed. That it seemed that Jesus, he was just a normal man, after all. And all their hopes about what he'd been teaching had been crushed. It had been 3 days, remember, 3 days now, so there was no doubt that Jesus was very much dead, without a question. But then, something amazing happens. Have a look at the next part of verse 19. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Jesus arrives and stands among the disciples. The stories they'd heard earlier, well, they were true, after all. They could see him now with their own eyes. The fact that he's standing there means he really has risen again. And if he's risen again, well, that means he really is the Son of God. Wow! He appears among them even though the doors are locked to keep the Jews out. Could they have forgotten to lock the doors, perhaps? Well, no. They're in fear of their lives. But clearly a lock is no trouble for the Son of God. He's just risen again. You know, your average Yale doesn't pose much of a problem. And then Jesus proceeds to show them the marks left by his crucifixion. So have a look at verse 20. It says, after he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Why does he show them his wounds? As a kid, I always thought, why does he do that? Why does he show them the wounds? Well, it's because it's proof, again, that it's the same body. It's not just some spirit without a body or just some other guy that looks a bit like Jesus. It actually is the same person. It's the same person that was killed terribly 3 days ago. The disciples are overjoyed. It really is him. No normal person could come back to life like this. He really is the Son of God. And then look at what Jesus says to his disciples in verse 21. Again Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So he starts by saying, peace be with you. That's the first thing he says to them, peace be with you. Now what this doesn't mean is just a nice feeling of relaxation. Or even, don't be scared, or anything like that. But he talks about peace here in the same way as war being over. What he means is that there can now be peace between people and God. More than that, people can now receive all the blessings of a relationship with God, a friendship with God. How and why is that possible? How can people have a relationship with God? Well, it's all to do with Jesus dying and then showing them his wounds. He's literally saying to them, look guys, because of these wounds, you can now have peace between you and God. Let me explain that a little bit further. Jesus has just proved who he is by appearing, by rising again. He's proved that he has risen, that he's come back to life. And because of that, that proves who he is. And now he gives the disciples a job to do. The whole reason Jesus has died was to take the punishment from God that we deserve and to die in our place. This is what he taught himself. How can the disciples know that that was really achieved when he died on the cross? Well, by Jesus rising again. And because of that, they can have confidence in who he is. He is showing them that this big plan has been completed. He really is the Son of God and has paid for people's sins on the cross. In verses 21 to 23, Jesus then sends the disciples out to tell that message to other people. Have a look at verses 21 to 23. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. It's like he's saying, okay, right, you've seen it yourself, and now you know it to be true. Now go and tell everybody else. The disciples' job was demonstrated to them by Jesus himself. The disciples needed this proof so that they could be confident in what they're going off now to teach others. It'd be like this. It'd be like someone giving you some news that there is a lion loose in Burton. Now, you wouldn't go around shouting that news out unless you were really, really confident that that was actually the case, that that was true. So the person just asks you to turn around, and there really is a lion. After the initial panic, you would want to tell everybody you could about this news, because you had proof. You were an eyewitness. Well, now, the disciples are eyewitnesses. They're eyewitnesses to Jesus coming back to life, rising again, and showing that he really did have the power to forgive sins. He's proved to them that when he died on the cross, he was taking the punishment that everyone else deserves for not loving God. Remember what sin is. It's shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your rules. And because of that, he's died and taken the punishment that they deserve. Now the disciples, they must go and tell this to other people. Okay, so they're overjoyed. That's great. But Thomas, he didn't believe the story. Have a look at verses 24 and 25. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Well, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I won't believe it." When the disciples tell Thomas, who wasn't with them at the time, well, understandably, he didn't believe them. He knows that Jesus was dead. Really, really dead for 3 days. Unless he can have some physical proof, he's not going to believe it. In a way, when I read this and thought about it, I thought it's quite reassuring, actually, that the disciples weren't just brainless idiots that left their brain at the door. Thomas is being like anyone else in this situation. Think about it. He's told the story that Jesus has risen again. It seems impossible. He needs some proof to be convinced. So Jesus appears again, and Thomas really is convinced. He wanted proof, and Jesus gives him precisely that. Have a look at verses 26 to 29. It says, "A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe.' Thomas said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Then Jesus told him, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" A week later, he appears to the disciples and again shows these men the absolute proof of the wounds on his body. Just one look at these and Thomas is convinced. It would be like a friend at school claiming they could do a backward somersault. When I was a teacher, there were kids that would always claim those sorts of things. I can do a backward somersault, of course. Well, you're only going to believe it if you can actually see it, aren't you? Like me with the rope trick and so on and so forth. But then the friend steps up and does the most amazing backward somersault. There is no longer any argument. They really can do it. In the same way, Jesus has appeared to them to prove he has risen. And this time, Thomas gets it. He sees that Jesus has risen, and therefore, he must be the Son of God. Have a look at verse 28. Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." The kids may not know, but the Jews at the time, no Jews would ever call anyone else, any normal person, Lord and God. But then really, no normal person could be having a conversation after being put to death and buried in a tomb for 3 days. So was Thomas right in saying that? Yeah, absolutely. The wounds show it is Jesus himself that has risen again, because he really is the Son of God, and Thomas understands and rightly calls him Lord and God. Okay, so the disciples, great, brilliant. It's excellent for them. They were really lucky to have seen Jesus like that with their own eyes. How great. It definitely did the job of convincing them, because they then went out and faced all sorts of dangers and suffering while telling people the news about Jesus, dying for people's sins, dying in their place. The only reason that they would do that and put up with all that is if they really were convinced themselves. But what about us living today in our modern age, in 2013? You know, surely we know a lot more than those disciples back then. Well, the thing is, we can have exactly the same confidence as the disciples had themselves. No, we are not eyewitnesses, but we have all the details recorded from the eyewitnesses themselves. Have a look at verse 29. Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus himself knew that Thomas was convinced when he saw Jesus with his own eyes, but there would be many others who would not see this incident firsthand, but would still believe. What does he say about those people? Well, he says that they are blessed. Their sins would be forgiven in exactly the same way as those first eyewitnesses' sins were forgiven. The word blessed literally means that God's approval is on them. God's approval is on those who believe. We can be convinced because of the disciples' complete commitment and the evidence in the Bible of Jesus' resurrection. If you've got any questions on that, please talk to me. Please talk to me afterwards. There are lots of other things that we could talk about why we should trust the Bible. Talk to me. Ask me a question. I'd love to have a chat. Have a look at verses 30 to 31. It says, "Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Praise God. John himself explains the purpose of him writing down all these events. This is why he's written all this stuff down. That we, who are not eyewitnesses, can still have confidence in Jesus really rising again. In doing this, he shows he is the Son of God and proves that he has paid for our sins on the cross. Jesus did many other things that were not recorded, but it doesn't matter. John tells us that he has got the important bits down so that we can confidently put our trust in Jesus as our Saviour. It's a bit like directions. Okay, it's a bit like directions. You just need the main important bits to get you to the correct destination. Extra information like how many trees are in the park that you're going to pass on your left, well, they're just not important. Doesn't matter. It's the main points that you need written down to get you to the right place. John says that's what he's done here. So the question we're left with is this: are you convinced, like the disciples, Do you believe that Jesus really did rise to life again all those years ago? And if so, well, then that means he must be who he said he was, the Son of God. Well, then that leaves us with another very important question. Have you trusted him as your Saviour that took the punishment from God that we deserve? It would be fantastic if this Easter you have done just that. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that Jesus rose again. We thank you that eyewitnesses recorded these details so that we could be completely confident that it actually happened. Thank you that it means that we can be confident that he has paid the price of our sins on the cross. And because of that, we can be forgiven by you. We thank you that that is the true message of Easter. And we ask that we would put our trust in that today. Amen.